Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
The Golden Rule. That's what we're studying today. It's actually the rule of love. Jesus said of it, "This is the law and the prophets." It is the summary statement of man's obligation to his fellow man under the law of Moses. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22:37-40. The Apostle Paul applied the same principle to the Christian age when he wrote, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Romans 13:8-9. Before examining the golden rule, I'd like for us to look at some other rules by which men govern their lives. There's what's called the iron rule. That rule says, might makes right. It is based upon brutality. That's a satanic principle. It was practiced by all of the Hitlers of the world. And it's still practiced today in business, in the home, even in the church at times, tragically. Then there's the brass rule that says, do unto others as they do unto you. This would seem to be eminently fair to many people. It's the eye for an eye philosophy. However, the New Testament clearly condemns it. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, notice there what the Apostle Paul writes. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Then when we look at Matthew chapter 5, the great Sermon on the Mount, in verses 38 beginning, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Then there's the silver rule that says, let us do nothing to others that we would not want others to do unto us. That's a rule that was introduced by Confucius. It is far better than the other two rules, but it is negative, isn't it? Not constructive. Brother James McGill lists some other rules in his writings on the Golden Rule. He says the Vandal Rule is sometimes practice, the playboy rule, which is live for pleasure, the whatever is legal is right rule. You know, a landlord may evict a poor widow when she has nowhere to turn and justify himself with, well, it's all perfectly legal. Again, Brother James McGill cites the example of the 1982 World's Fair in Knoxville, Tennessee, when landlords, in their intense greed, evicted tenants who had regularly paid their rent for years. And they did so in order to make more money by renting the property to World's Fair visitors. And then you have the don't get involved rule. These are people who don't commit the crimes, but they won't even call the police when they see a crime committed. Some of these rules are illustrated in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. It said that the robbers there practiced the iron rule. Might makes right. The priest and the Levite, remember, who passed by on the other side? They practiced the brass and silver rules, or the don't get involved rule. But the Samaritan, he practiced the golden rule. Now let us ask, what does the golden rule really mean? It means that one starts with himself rather than others. It asks first what he likes, what pleases him, what helps him, what encourages him. Then it asks what he himself dislikes, what upsets him, what brings out the worst in him, what is most discouraging. And then after making his list, he deals with others by thinking, you know, they're just like I am. And they have the same feelings I have. You see, it's putting ourselves constantly in the position of others. I want to be able to trust in and confide in a friend. Therefore, I will be trustworthy and reliable. I don't want others to say unkind things about me. Therefore, I will not say unkind things about others. I don't want people making my life difficult. Therefore, I will not make their lives difficult. I don't want to be hurt, so I won't hurt others. I don't want others to listen to me with the idea of catching me in a mistake or criticizing my grammar or my pronunciation. Therefore, I will not listen to others with that kind of critical attitude. I want others to show an interest in bringing a lost loved one of mine to Christ. Therefore, I will show an interest in bringing their lost loved ones to Christ. I don't want people to make broad, sweeping generalizations about me. Therefore, I will not make such generalizations or judgments about them. Think about some of these unfair judgments. Politicians are all crooked. Well, you women are all alike. Now, to be fair, you men are all alike. Or lawyers and doctors are just out for the money. No, those are broad, sweeping, unfair generalizations because they fail to consider individual differences. All the textbooks on ethics and human relations are best summarized by the Lord's admonition right here in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, there can be some abuses in the application of the golden rule. One cannot be saved by keeping the golden rule. It deals with our relations to one another, not to God. We have to be saved by obeying the gospel of Christ. And that comes by hearing it and believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being buried in baptism for the remission of sins. And then, after we've done that and have been added to the Lord's church, forgiven of our sins through the blood of Christ in baptism, then obviously we practice the golden rule and we seek to practice everything that we're taught in the New Testament. Also, some think that it obligates a person, the golden rule that is, to grant every request of others. A parent might think, I don't like to be punished, so I won't punish my child. Well, you see, the rule must never be applied where it would involve wrongdoing or neglect of duty. Sometimes the truly loving thing to do is not always easy. Sometimes the most loving thing to do might seem harsh or unpleasant at first. A teacher saw a student, the only one in the room at the time, looking in his roll book, his class roll book, with a pen in hand when the teacher returned to the classroom after being away for a few minutes. He was teaching a freshman course in college in English. The teacher said, as I think back upon it, it was so obvious that the student was altering his grades in the roll book, but he had been such a model student, so cooperative and quite a leader, that he helped make my classes especially enjoyable. He contributed more than anyone else to the class discussion and to class morale. The teacher said he just couldn't believe he had seen what he really saw. So he said nothing about it. This student went on to be very successful and was elected to the student council of the college. Then another teacher caught him altering grades in his roll book. The student had to give up his position on the council and was publicly disgraced. The teacher who first caught him said, if I had really practiced Jesus' golden rule, I would have confronted the student with what I had seen, would have talked it over with him, and perhaps the outcome of his college career would have been entirely different. Now let's ask, how can we implement the golden rule? How can we implement the golden rule? We must start with God. Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We must first love God, then our neighbor. One never sees himself properly or his neighbor as he should until he sees both as God sees them. When we see God as we should, we will see ourselves as sinners. Remember in Luke 18:13, the publican there who cried out to God as he went to pray in the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We've got to see ourselves as sinners. You stop thinking about your rights, your dignity, your feelings, your pride. We then see others as we should see them. They too are sinners. They have sorrows and struggles in life, as we do. God loves them, and we will love them also and deal with them as our Father deals with them. You see, the golden rule should be applied everywhere, in marriage, in the church, on the job, everywhere. Think about this. Take the time to write down the problems that would still exist if everyone, everywhere, practiced the golden rule. Time's up. That's right. We would have no problems if we all followed the teaching of Jesus. Of course, the teaching of Jesus is so crucial in the matter of obedience to the gospel, because it matters not how one practices the golden rule if he's practicing the golden rule or seeking to practice it while being outside of Christ. Remember, we said the golden rule in and of itself cannot save you. The gospel that Jesus brought saves. And that gospel teaches us to hear it, obviously. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The gospel says we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. But the gospel also teaches that we must repent of our sins, turn our backs upon them, change our mind about sin, turn away from it. Jesus said, unless we repent, we will perish. Luke 13:3, and again at verse 5. And then we are to make that sweet, simple, but essential confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto, in the direction of, salvation. There's the confession that's to be made before we can be saved. It's the simple confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we must live that confession throughout our lives by our actions. But after we've confessed, then we must be baptized. Yes, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is a burial in water where the blood of Jesus is applied to cleanse us from our sins. And without the blood, there can be no cleansing. And then, when we rise from that watery grave, we understand, before we went down into that grave, that we were about to be added to the most precious institution ever established, the Church of Christ, the Kingdom of Christ. He adds us to the Church upon our obedience to the Gospel. And then He commands us, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And a part of that faithfulness, obviously, is in practicing the golden rule. And oh yes, if everyone would obey that simple teaching of the Gospel, be added to the one Church we read about in the New Testament, and be faithful therein even unto death, practicing all the time that beautiful golden rule, all the world's problems would be solved. But Jesus Himself said, as did the inspired writers of the New Testament, that not all certainly will obey the Gospel. What about you?